All right, pray with me. Father, just thank you for your blessing on us tonight. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord in this place. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to get our minds right this evening, Lord, to just focus on the things that we need to focus on and remember the things that we need to remember. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to talk to you tonight about always remember. You might be relieved to know that you're not the only one that forgets things. You know, as you get older, sometimes there's kind of this thought that, oh man, I forget things because I'm older. Well, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to be around any young people lately, but they can't ever remember where their phone is or the keys are. Anyway, just saying. But there was research done at Johns Hopkins to see with the things what people forget the most, and number seven was 38% forget whether or not they've just done something. Did I tell y'all the title of the message? You'd be surprised how when you preach twice on Sunday morning, how sometimes in the second service, you're trying to remember, did I say that in this service already, or was that the other one? Well, anyway, yeah, we've all been there. I don't know why they say 38%, because we've all done that sometime. 42% forget faces. Now, some people remember faces too well, and we figured out, you know, my wife is a twin. Well, I figured out that I must somehow have been a twin also, because a couple of times, it's been a few years ago now, but a couple of times I had different people come up to me and say, I saw you downtown walking the other day. And I was like, no, I haven't been downtown in months. And they're like, no, I saw you. No, you didn't. But anyway, all of us forget faces sometimes, right? 49% said that they forget what was said. Now, that means that 51% are those annoying people that can recant the entire conversation. Although I figured out that most of the time, they just think they are, right? I mean, talk about forgetting what was said. I would be thrilled if 51% could remember what I said on Sunday morning. In fact, how many of you remember what I preached this past Sunday? Oh, man, I was hoping I'd get a couple of you. I guess I kind of messed it up when I talked about Jonathan preaching, didn't I? Well, I'm sure I would have got some if it hadn't been for that. 53% forget a word. I'm not talking about a word from God. We forget those too sometimes. But I'm talking about, you know, we're in mid-sentence and we're going to say, and we can't think of that word we want. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. 57% forget telephone numbers. It is way higher than that now. These are old statistics, because now we don't even try to remember them. We just stick them in our phone. I think 57% don't even know what their phone number is.
I don't ever call myself.
Yep. 60% forget where something is. Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my wallet? And evidently, a lot of you have forgotten where your Bible is. Just saying. It's gone to meddling. 83% forget people's names. So on average, that means we remember one name out of every six people we meet. That's not real good, is it? But you know, I found that busy people tend to forget more. I mean, when you've got a whole lot on your plate, you know, no matter what we like to think, and no matter how many of you have heard this goofy statistic that, by the way, is not real and is not true, but people like to quote it like it is all the time, that, oh, you only use 10% of your brain. Well, I know that it seems like that is true with some people, but I'm just saying it's not really true. But we do forget things, and we do more when we have a lot on our plate. There's an older couple that was having trouble remembering and just the day-to-day things, and they decided that they would write things down to keep things straight, you know. And so one evening, the wife asked the husband if he would like anything to eat, and he said, well, yeah. He said, I would like a large ice cream sundae with chocolate ice cream, whipped cream, and a cherry on top. And so she goes off to the kitchen, starts that direction to make it for him, and he says, aren't you going to write it down? She said, no, I'm going to do it right now. I don't need to write it down. And she's gone for quite a while, and she finally comes back, and she sets down this big plate in front of him that's got hash browns and eggs and bacon and a glass of orange juice. And he just looks at her, and he says, you should have written it down. You forgot the toast. Yeah. Now, if you didn't get that joke, I'm just telling you, you might have a little bit of a memory problem, but there, you know what? Forgetting things is not always a bad thing. There are things that we're supposed to forget. In fact, I think that one of the biggest issues that people have is not being able to let go of the past and not being able to, you know, put the past behind them. And when we say forget, that doesn't mean that you don't ever have recollection of it. It just means that you choose to not think about that anymore. You choose to put that behind and go on with God. I love these verses that Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you need to understand that Paul was talking about the things that could hinder him, the things that he could be sidetracked by, the things that could become, well, a wrong focus. And so he says, I got to forget those things so I can focus on what God has for me in the future. And I know a lot of people, that's a key issue, is they're not really going after what God has for them today and tomorrow because they're so hung up on the past. So we got to forget about anything that keeps us from pressing toward the goal. But there are also some things, in fact, many things in the scripture that the Bible tells us not to forget. Things that we should always remember. You know, the Bible tells us when we take communion that we're to remember the Lord's death, that we're to remember what he's done for us and remember his death and resurrection. The Bible tells us we're to remember the Sabbath. It's Exodus 20 and 8, by the way. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't ever forget to set aside a time to rest and to worship God. The Bible says we are to remember the poor. It says that we should remember. He says, remember he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Paul says, I remember you in my prayers. In Hebrews, it says, don't forget to do good and share with others. But all through the Bible, there are things that it tells us. I mean, it makes a point to tell us, remember this. And so there's things that we need to specifically remember. Now, tonight, I'm just going to focus on seven. And some of us, we're thinking, yeah, I'll be doing good if I remember three or one. But I just hope that the Holy Spirit will bring these to your remembrance. See, this is important. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit does is brings things to our remembrance. So tonight, I think this is more of refocusing on the things we should remember. And I want to say this right here. As I said earlier, you can only have so much on your plate. For you to remember these things, you're going to have to forget about some other things. It has to do with where your focus is. So the first one is we need to remember where he's brought us from. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. And I'm telling you that we who have been born again have just as much been brought out. Amen. Well, the Bible says very clearly in Colossians 1:13, he's delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I'm telling you, we've been brought out, and we need to realize that, but we need to always remember where he brought us from. Psalm 103, verse 4 says, he redeems our life from the pit. Has he brought you out of a pit of despair? Has he brought you out of an addiction, a bondage? Has he brought you out of some darkness? Psalm 40:2, he says, he also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Now, some of you, you might have been, like my son said Sunday, you might have been a Christian since you were a little child, and you've never gone out and done terrible things and, you know, got yourself in a mess. But the Lord still brought you out of those things. He kept you from those things. And you need to remember all that the Lord has kept you from. Don't take it for granted, but always remember. Remember where you'd be without the Lord. It's really important. You know, it's a trick of the enemy to make us think that it doesn't really matter that we serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, you just need to remember where you came from, what it was like to be without the Lord and without hope. You know, the children of Israel forgot how the Lord had delivered them from Egypt. When they were in the wilderness and things got hard, I'll tell you what they remembered about Egypt. The leeks and the onions. They were tired of that manna, and they remembered that spicy food. They wanted to go back and have some leeks and onions. They forgot what the Lord had delivered them from. My goodness, they've been delivered from 400 years of bondage, of hard, cruel labor. But they forgot about that. And they were angry with Moses, and they blamed God, and they wanted to go back. But you know what? I see the same thing with believers a lot of the time. When things get tough and things aren't going their way, they start thinking, well, maybe, you know, what difference does it make if I go to church? What would it hurt for me to go out drinking and go do some of the things I used to do and have some fun? I'm just telling you that we got to always remember where the Lord brought us out from. Don't ever forget where he brought you from. Second, we need to remember what he brought us through. Deuteronomy 8:2-3, it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. I'm telling you, remember that God is faithful, that he kept you through the hard times. He brought you through, you know, and he, listen, you may have gone through some humble times. But God will bring you through. And you need to remember the things that he brought you through. How that he was faithful. How he was always there. How he always made a way. Even times when you didn't think there was going to be a way, God made a way. The Apostle Paul wrote about some of the things that God brought him through. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:24-27, he says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 day and 1 night I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I'm telling you, the Lord had brought him through a lot. In fact, we read his list, it kind of makes us feel kind of sissy, doesn't it? Because most of us, we think we've been through something, but when you read something like, I mean, this guy, he went through so many, I mean, it was enough to kill 10 people. For real. And God kept him and brought him through. And Paul didn't forget the things that God had brought him through. Neither should we. Love the old song. Through many dangerous toils and snares I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We need to remember the lessons of faith that God kept us. He was faithful through the tests and the trials, because he didn't bring us this far to leave us. So we remember, always remember the things that he's brought you through. Now I want to clarify something about that. Here's where people get their focus wrong. There's a whole lot of people that remember all the things that they've been through. That's not what I said. I said remember the things that God has brought you through. Because there's, listen, you can watch daytime TV if you dare to do so, and any one of those talk shows, they got upteen people on there talking about all the stuff they've been through. And it happened 30 years ago, and they're still messed up because they're still living it. They're still going over it, reliving it every day, and can't get free from their past. I'm not talking about that. That ain't the right kind of memory. I'm talking about remembering how God kept you and brought you through. Third, remember that it is God that has blessed us. Deuteronomy 8, 12 through 18. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, when you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might and my of my hand has gained me this wealth. Listen. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. And I'm telling you, so many people forget that it was God that blessed them. You know, as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, God blessed them, you know, they started out with so little. Some of them started out with a marriage that was in shambles. And God blessed them. And they forgot that it was God that blessed them. And you know what happens? They go back to the things of the world. They think it was just them. They think it's just a coincidence. They think it just worked out. They start thinking like the world. No, you got to always remember it's God that blessed you. Always remember. Prayed for that job, a car, friends, a spouse. And then when God blesses, how often people forget. Whatever we accomplish, whatever we have, whatever we are, if we're anything at all, it is by the grace of God. It's his blessing. So always remember. David said in Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Always remember, it is God who has blessed you. Now, some of you, you might be thinking, well, you know, it ain't all that. I mean, you're reading about wealth and riches and multiplying. I don't see that in my life. Well, let me tell you, you just remember the things that God has blessed you with and be thankful. And I'm telling you, God will bless you with more. That's the way. You'll never get there by complaining. No, remember the things that God has blessed you with. Fourth, remember the great things the Lord has done. I know some of these are kind of similar. Y'all don't have to tell me, but I'm just telling you, we need to get these things. Remember the miracles. Remember the mighty things that God has done. It is amazing how that in our generation, it is much like in Jesus' day. You know, Jesus did so many mighty miracles, and yet somehow there were many, many people who, even though they saw the miracles and they knew the people that the miracles happened to, they disregarded it. And it was like it didn't happen. They found a way to reason it away as though it didn't really happen. And it's the same way in our time, in our culture, where some of you had mighty, mighty miracles. I knew a man one time that he had a big bulge on his arm, and God healed him. It just went away. He was supposed to have a surgery. He didn't have to have a surgery. It just went away. But a few years later, he wouldn't admit that that was God that did it. I'm just telling you, it's amazing how people forget the miracles that the Lord has done. And the Bible tells us very plainly. Here's one of those, First Chronicles 16, 8 through 12. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of his wondrous works. Tell people your story. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done." Remember. Remember. I tell you, I think sometimes we need to write those things down so that we don't forget. You know, I like to think that I'm, you know, have a good memory, but it's amazing how that when I've written something down, sometimes I'll read it later and I think, I forgot about that. But I'm just telling you, you know, Paul wrote them down. Maybe we need to write them down so we won't forget. Anybody ever have a healing, a miraculous provision? I mean, God did a miracle in your life and you know it. And see, some of you have forgotten. You should be saying amen right now. Because I'm telling you, there's been a lot of miracles. But remember the things that God has done. It will build your faith if you'll remember those miracles. You know, when the children of Israel were faced off with the Philistines, and every day Goliath would come out and taunt them, and all of the men, the mighty men of Israel, were all afraid. And no one would go out and fight this giant. But along comes this young man, a shepherd boy, and he says, "I'll fight him." He goes to Saul, and he says, the king Saul, and he says, "I'll fight him." And Saul's like, "You can't fight this guy, you're just a boy." And you know what David said to him? I'm going to read it to you from 1 Samuel 17 and 37. "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And I'm just telling you, see, David knew that God was going to deliver him because he had already done it in the past. The same God that delivered him from the lion and the bear. In fact, I think this was an easier battle myself. I'd rather fight a 9-foot-tall man than a bear, just saying. I mean, David had total confidence in the Lord because of the miracles that God had done for him in the past. And some of you, God has done miracles for you in the past, and now you're facing a battle. You need to remember what God has done in the past, the miracles, and don't ever forget what the Lord has done. You know, Jesus was talking to the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, and they're like, "Is this because we don't have any bread?" And Jesus says this to them, Matthew 16, 9 and 10. He says, "Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up?" I mean, these things had just happened. And yet somehow they're wondering if Jesus is concerned that they don't have any bread. And how we forget sometimes. We're wondering, God, do you see, do you know what's going to happen here? Did you forget the last time that he took care of you? I'm telling you, remember the great things the Lord has done. Fifth, we need to remember what God has promised. So many fantastic promises that God has made to us. And if we believe those promises, they are for us. But you know what? You can't believe something that you don't remember. You got to remember the promises. You need to keep them fresh and alive in your heart. Remember the promises. For every problem that you face, there's a promise, and you need to know those promises. Jesus made a great promise to the disciples. Now, I want you to catch the promise here, okay? Now, some of it doesn't sound so great, but listen for the promise. In Matthew 16, 21, it says that from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. That's a great promise. He said, all this terrible stuff is going to happen, but I'm going to be raised the third day. Now, the disciples should have latched on to that. They should have remembered what he said. In fact, at least five times, Jesus told the disciples that he would rise from the dead in the book of Matthew alone. Just in the Gospel of Matthew, five times Jesus told them that he would rise from the dead. Now that is a promise. When he tells you something five times, that's a promise. And then, when all of these horrible events began to unfold and he was arrested and the beatings and the crucifixion and all of that happened, they totally forgot what he said. It's amazing. I'm going to rise from the dead. After 3 days, on the third day, they forgot. The night he was taken, even, he reminded them again. Matthew 26, 31 and 32, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. On the night that he was taken, he reminded them again, after I'm raised. And when the women came and told the disciples on resurrection morning, they said, we have seen the Lord. This is what they said, Luke 24, 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. He told them five times just in the book of Matthew alone, I'm going to rise. What a promise. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, well, I don't think I would have been that thick. You know what? He's given us so many promises, and we get in a situation, we're going through a hard time, and we forget about the promise. We need to remember the promise. By the way, if you don't need it today, well, you still need to remember it because you're going to need it someday. His enemies seem to remember what he said better than the disciples. Matthew 27, 62 through 64 says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he's risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. They wanted extra security around the tomb because they remembered that he said he was going to rise from the dead. Mark 16, 14. A lot of scripture. I just want you to see this stuff. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked them. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He had promised them and promised them and promised them, and yet when people came and said, he's risen, they didn't believe it. And so Jesus rebukes their hardness of heart and unbelief. I wonder if Jesus would sometimes rebuke us. Well, if we were listening, if he might rebuke us for our unbelief because we didn't even remember the great promises and believe those promises. Oh, if we just remember the promises. I heard an old story about a church that prayed a local bar would close, and it wasn't long until it burned down. And the owner of the bar knew that the church had been praying that it would close, and so he sued the church, saying that the church's prayers had caused his bar to burn down. And the judge, listening to all this, he said, well, it seems that the bar owner believes in the power of prayer more than the church, because the church was saying, we didn't cause it. But I'm just telling you, we need to believe the promises. And to do that, you got to know the promises. You got to remember. That's why it's so important. Listen, in this unbelieving and perverse generation, that you stay in the Word, that you stay in church, that you feed yourself the Word of God, hearing the promises all of the time, keeping your faith strong and keeping those promises fresh in your mind. Number 6, remember to obey the Word of God. Remember to obey. That's kind of a strange way to phrase obedience. But listen to this from Psalm 103, 17 and 18. It says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments and do them. It's a kind of a scary thing, the time we live in, when most Christians can't even quote half of the Ten Commandments. If you don't know them, you probably aren't doing them. Just saying. We need to remember his word, his commandments, so we will obey. That's what he said. Remember his commandments to do them. It's not just to be able to quote them. It's to remember them to do them. Remember to obey the commandments. And I'm telling you, that one command I mentioned earlier, he says, remember the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath. That's one of those ones that people say, oh, that's not for us today. What do you do with the other 9? Just saying. But we need to remember the commandments and not just the Big Ten. I was reading some of Jesus' teaching today, and oh, how different it is than the way of the world. When he says, when somebody compels you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. When the attitude of the day is, I don't want to be put upon. I don't want people telling me what to do. I don't want anybody. Why do I have to do that? It's not my job. I don't. And Jesus' command is, don't just do what you're compelled to do. Do double. What if we really did? I'm telling you, you know what it says in that same passage? It says, if we just love those who love us, if we just greet those who greet us, what do we more than others? I want to tell you something. Jesus expects us to do more than others. He makes that very clear. All this pop theology of the day that, oh, well, I'm just like everybody else. I just know Jesus. Well, no. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to be radically different. And we need to remember his commands to do them. It'll mess you up, but I mean, it will. It'll make you live a different life if you remember Jesus' commands. But how we need to. So we'll do them. Let me give you this passage from James. It's so clear. James 1, 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and he goes away and, listen, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He forgets. But he who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, not a forgetful hearer, see, he remembers. He remembers the word. But a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. Seventh, remember your first love. We all know Jesus says the most important thing, it's Mark 12:30, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the most important thing, is that we love him. You know, we should just keep getting closer to him, just be more and more intimate with him, just grow to love him more all the time. But sometimes it happens that our hearts can begin to cool. Sometimes when maybe we're not riding on a high emotionally, and maybe we aren't being faithful to church, and maybe we're hanging out with the wrong people, or maybe we just got tired and weary somewhere along the way and got our eyes off of Jesus. But it happens that sometimes people begin to forget about their first love, not as passionate and committed as they once were. And so I want to remind you of this passage from Revelation 2:2-5. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. If you remember a time when you were more committed, when you were more serious about the Lord, when you were more on fire for him, all you need to remember your first love, and you need to remember the first works. Go back and do the first works again, he says. One man said it this way: you're more likely to act yourself into feeling than feel yourself into acting. That's why you do the first works. See, if you don't feel the passion like you once did, you're just not as excited as you once were, you go back and you do the works. You do the first works. See, our love for the Lord is not talk. It's something we walk. And you gotta do it. You gotta show it. It has to be something that's evident in your life. See, always remember your first love. Every day, remember your first love. And every day, you show it in your life. Remember, he brought you out. Remember, he brought you through. Remember the great things, the miracles that God has done. Remember, it is God who has blessed you. Remember the promises of God, exceeding great and precious promises. Remember to obey the word of God. And remember your first love. Well, if you just hang on to one or two of those even, I believe it'll help you. Yeah. But in the days ahead, oh, turn your attention to those things. Keep them fresh in your heart. Go over those things again. Remember, there are some things that you should always remember, never let go of. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord, that have come to, Lord, to just be refreshed and to be stirred, and Lord, to be recharged and to be challenged to go out in this world and live for you. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as we go tonight, Lord, that we would just be a little stronger. I pray that we'll remember these things, and that because of them, Lord, we'll be strong in faith and strong and ready for the challenges that come our way. And that you be glorified in us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Lord bless you.